Welcome to Talks from the Bible. Please remember our program tomorrow at 9:30, and then Monday through Friday at 6:55 a.m. For our thoughts today, I'm reading to you from Matthew chapter 22, verses 1 through 5. And Jesus answered and spake unto them again by parables and said, The kingdom of heaven is like unto a certain king which made a marriage for his son, and sent forth his servants to call them that were bidden to the wedding, and they would not come. Again he sent forth other servants, saying, Tell them which are bidden, Behold, I have prepared my dinner, my oxen and my fatlings are killed, and all things are ready. Come unto the marriage. But they made light of it, and went their ways, one to his farm, another to his merchandise. Jesus often used parables as a method of teaching. A parable was a story which was told by Jesus. And from that parable we are to draw a spiritual lesson for our lives. Here, as the Lord teaches this parable about the king which made a marriage for his son and invited the guest, we learn that God has invited us to come unto him. God has prepared a feast for us. All things are ready. Everything has been prepared by Almighty God. He only desires that we come in faith and in loving obedience unto him, so that we might know his love, experience his grace, and have the blessing of eternal salvation. There is the invitation that has been sent forth. The gospel which is proclaimed today is an invitation for us to come. In Revelation chapter 22 and verse 17, the Bible concludes with the invitation sent by God that we are to come unto him. The Spirit and the Bride say, Come. Let him that heareth say, Come. And whosoever will, let him come and partake of the water of life freely. We have emphasized over and again that the invitation of Jesus Christ from Almighty God is sent forth to everyone. All who will hear are to come. And those who hear and come are to invite others to come. God wants the whole of humanity to come unto him. He desires that we come and know him as Lord. We come and know him as Creator. We come and know him as the Almighty God. But especially we come to know him as the Savior of our souls. In Matthew chapter 11, verses 28 through 30, Jesus said, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden, and I will give you rest. Take my yoke upon you and learn of me, for I am meek and lowly in heart, and ye shall find rest unto your soul. Jesus says, Come unto me, all ye that labor and are heavy laden. In Jesus we find rest. In Jesus we find liberty and freedom from the bond service of sin. In Jesus we find eternal redemption, for in his blood all sins are forgiven. He is the one unto whom we come, for through him we can come to know the Father, Almighty God. Through Jesus we can find rest and hope and peace. We are to bring the burden of sin unto him, and we can be released from that sin through our obedience to the gospel of Christ. The problem with so many today is that they do not see what a burden sin is. They cannot understand what heartache is brought about by sin. The negative problems of our world and the evil that exists in our world and all the horrible crimes that are committed against humanity exist because of sin. The burden of sin can be brought to Christ. We are to lay those burdens down before the cross and allow His cleansing blood to free us from the burden of sin. In 1 Peter 2 and verse 9, the apostle wrote by the inspiration of the Holy Spirit, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that ye should show forth the praises of Him who hath called you out of darkness into His marvelous light." We are this special people unto God because we have been called out of darkness into the marvelous light of Almighty God. The word darkness in the pages of the New Testament refers to sin, the darkness of evil, the dominion of the devil over our soul. But we have been called from that darkness into the marvelous light of God's salvation. Jesus has prepared a banquet feast, and we have been invited to come. God wants you to come, and He wants me to come. He wants the whole of humanity to come. He wants the most evil of humanity to come unto Him. The marriage feast has been set, and we have been invited. And God patiently waits for us to come. In the parable told by Jesus, the king sent forth his servants to bid those who had been invited to come. But the Bible says they would not come. Jesus says that they refuse this gracious invitation from the king. Have we refused the gracious invitation of God for us to come unto Him through Christ? Have we said no to the gospel of Jesus Christ time and time again? After the servants had returned and told the king that those who had been bidden would not come, then he sent those servants out to others to bid them to come unto him. God patiently waits for us to come. He desires that we bring our sin unto him. We bring our burden unto him. And he patiently waits for us to come. In 2 Peter 3, in verse 9, Peter is talking about the end of time. He is discussing the destruction of the world. And of course, Jesus has promised that he will return. There are those who are mocking at that promise that Jesus made. Because he has not come, they believe that he will not come. And so they are mocking at the promise of Christ. So many oftentimes mock at the Bible. They make fun at the teachings of Almighty God. In 2 Peter 3 and verse 9, Peter explains the reason that Jesus has not come. He explains the reason that the world has not been destroyed. The Lord is not slack concerning His promise, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward, not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. Think about that statement. Not willing that any should perish. Look at the condition of our society. Look at the sins that are committed. Look at the immorality that is so widespread. Behold the disdain that so many have toward God and His desire for us to walk in holiness and purity before Him. We live in a world that is filled with so much evil and so much rebellion and stubbornness against the will of God. Why has Jesus not come? Why has the world not gone up in flames and God destroyed it as He did so long ago in the days of Noah? God is long-suffering, not willing that any should perish, but that all, you and me and the whole of humanity, should come to repentance. In 1 Peter chapter 3 and verse 20, Peter makes reference to the destruction of the world in the days of Noah. And he says, which sometime were disobedient, when once the long-suffering of God waited in the days of Noah while the ark was a-preparing, wherein few, that is, eight souls, were saved by water. Even in that time, when the thoughts of man were only evil continually, when sin was widespread throughout the whole of the world, God was long-suffering and waited patiently for their repentance. Romans 2 and verse 4 states, "Or despisest thou the riches of his goodness and forbearance and long-suffering, not knowing that the goodness of God leadeth thee to repentance?" God's goodness, God's forbearance, God's long-suffering. The apostle says that we do not know, we do not understand that the goodness of God leads us to repentance. God patiently waits for us to come. But as the invitation was extended, Jesus teaches that they would not come. The last group that was invited, Jesus said, made light of it. They went to their farm and they went to their merchandise. They went about their daily activities of life and paid no attention, gave no heed to the invitation that had been extended. So many today wander aimlessly along, attending to the temporal, earthly affairs of life, not giving any thought or any heed to the eternal verdict that is coming. They pay no heed to the patient waiting of Almighty God. In Matthew 23 and verse 37, Jesus has been in the temple teaching the Pharisees. And of course, the Pharisees would not receive Christ as the anointed one of God. Jesus says to them, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killest the prophets and stonest them that are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thee together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and ye would not." You can hear the pity and the mercy in the voice of Christ. You can hear him as he speaks to these people about their unwillingness to come, their refusal to come. They were denying the Christ. They were rejecting their only hope of eternal salvation. And Jesus said, "Still, I would gather you together, but ye will not come." Barnabas and Paul went into the city of Antioch of Pisidia in Acts the 13th chapter. There they preach about the promise that God had made through Abraham to bless all the nations of men. He reminds them of the voice of the prophets who had spoken to Israel, attempting to call them back unto God, and shows the fulfillment of the Psalms as David wrote of the resurrection of the Lord Jesus Christ. And yet they refuse. Verse 46 says, "It was necessary that the word of God should first have been spoken unto you. But seeing ye put it from you and judge yourselves unworthy of everlasting life, lo, we turn to the Gentiles." Those who reject the gospel consider themselves unworthy of eternal life. These Jews would not come. They would not heed the voice of the prophets. They would not hear and understand all that had been spoken to them and the great extension of mercy that God had made to them. They refused him. In the 26th chapter of Acts, Paul speaks to the Roman governor Agrippa. Agrippa says, "Almost," at verse 28, "almost thou persuadest me to be a Christian." Agrippa was on the very brink of salvation and yet would not come. What about you as you listen to my voice? Hear the call of Christ. Answer that call in loving obedience. Bring your burden to Him, and He will give you rest. Reject not the invitation of Jesus Christ.